Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
This is a podcast where we talk about things we like that is good and are good and remains good and we are into now and will forever be into.
Whoa, well, I don't know what we do.
I think it's important we plant our flag in this specific point that if we ever talk about anything on this show, we love it forever and our feelings
will never change.
I can give
you a 100% guarantee that we have talked about something that became quite problematic.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
I think the whole foundation of Rose Buddies was kind of
maybe
crumbled
we're building
beneath
a house on shifting sands there. But for the most part, where we talk about things that is and am good and will remain forever good, forever and ever. Amen. This is a good time.
And also with you.
With you and also with you.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Let's keep going. This is hot. This is hot fire.
This isn't hot fire so far. It turned into a sort of liturgy for a minute.
Can I tell you what my small wonder is?
I would love to hear about your small wonder.
Okay. I've actually thought about this before and thought like, oh, this is a good one. And then
this
I forget.
This is unprecedented.
beep, beep, beep. It is when a plant is kind of wilty and then you add water and it just pops up.
It's crazy.
I love that.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I've seen plants before in our house where I'm like, put that one in the ground.
Yeah.
Well, for a plant, actually.
Put that one below the ground.
Take that one out of the ground. It's done.
Take it out of the ground.
But then you just dampen it a little bit, and then it's good to go.
I have specifically been investing in plants that do not require a lot of maintenance or care.
Yeah.
Because my whole approach to plants is water them once a week when I feel like it's been a week. So sometimes it's been more than a week and they start to look pretty bad. And then I'll water them and poop, pop right back up.
I'm going to say there is a new content expansion for the most recent Pokemon games that Henry has been shuddering with excitement.
Yeah, tell me about it this morning. You guys hit it.
We only played it for like 45 minutes or so this morning before he had to go to school.
But boo.
Boo, school sucks. But it's fun to see him get this like fired up about a new video game thing and get to share in that with him. It's been nice. It's funny, like the most recent Pokemon games I was so cool on when I played them for besties, and then
yeah,
I would talk about them.
But through a child's eyes.
Through the magic of a child's eyes, though, I've enjoyed it a lot. It's been like a game we've played together now and have shared, and it is my experience with it has been much improved. So, you go first this week.
I do.
What do you have for me?
I want to give a thank you. You know, friend of the show, Anna Roach.
I love friend of the show, Anna Roach.
That we invited on our special Third Love episode.
Oh, yes.
She also has a podcast, Stab in the Back, that she does with her friend Benton. And they talk about murderers and murders and all the things that people love. But in a fun way. Anyway, she sent me a poem. Which is a perk of my role as poet enthusiast that
yeah,
people will occasionally send me poems. And most of the time I'm like, oh, that's a good one. This one I was like, I think I'm going to make a whole thing about it.
Hell yeah.
So we're going to the poetry corner.
She's doing a little ragtime for you.
It's beautiful, honey. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me time to get out my laptop and open it.
Yeah.
And now it's open, and I can tell you that the poet in the corner is, well, I don't know if
that's weird. Get in the corner. Robert Frost, you're in trouble.
Now that you're in the corner, I can introduce you to the poet who is not necessarily in the corner, but we're going to talk about while in the corner.
This poet is on the naughty step, and it is
Pat Schneider.
Pat Schneider?
Pat Schneider.
I thought you said Patch.
I believe short for Patricia.
Okay.
And this is a poet I was not familiar with, although the poem feels very familiar. I'm sure listeners of the show that are big poetry enthusiasts will recognize. It feels to me like a poem that I have read on the show before. It is not, but it is similar in content. And I would love it if you all could get on the Facebook group and tell me what poem you think I'm thinking of, because I opened up our Rolodex of poets and I was like, which one does this sound like? And then I was just overwhelmed by the sheer volume of poems that I have read on this show. Anyway, Pat Schneider, born in rural Missouri in 1934 near the Ozark Mountains.
Beautiful.
I had never heard of Ava, and so I looked at it. There's only like 2,000 people that live in that town.
Ava? So that's the name of the rural Missouri area that Pat hails from?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I was like, 2,000 people? That's crazy. Let me see what the population was when she was born. Maybe it's just gotten smaller. No, it was 1,000 people when she was born there.
So
it is doubled in size.
Keep it up. City on the Grove.
She's written 9 books of poetry. And she's got kind of like a complicated past that really motivated her work as a poet. When she was 4, her parents divorced and her mother moved her and her younger brother to St. Louis, where she was looking for work. They lived in a tenement building, and later her mother put both children in an orphanage. I'm assuming for financial reasons, but I don't really know the story there.
No.
And then when they were released, her and her brother kind of diverged. He became what she called a drifter. And she was lucky enough to get a scholarship to Central College in Missouri. She did continue to travel out. Her brother ended up in California or the West Coast, rather. And she continued to kind of stay in touch with him, and he was very important to her. And I think she really became aware of the challenges of what she called traditionally silenced populations. So she founded Amherst Writers and Artists, which was a nonprofit that focused on low-income women and children, sponsoring writers' workshops and retreats. Because I think, and I read an interview with her where she talked about the fact that just even putting content on a page is a barrier in itself.
Yeah.
You know, and she realized through her own experience, because she did pursue an MFA. She did become a professor. She taught at University of Massachusetts, University of Connecticut, Smith College, and she lived in Amherst until her death. But she became really committed to connecting people to a community of artists and trying to remove those barriers. Like people were invited to share writing that was handwritten. People were invited to just share information, and then they would support them in getting it on the page. It's pretty exceptional considering how kind of exclusive the MFA community has become, that she was kind of making it available to everybody.
Yeah.
So the poem that our friend Anna sent me is called The Patience of Ordinary Things.
And the title sounds familiar.
I know. This is just the kind of poem I like to bring, right? Like, it is accessible and joyous and helps us focus, I think, on, you know, the splendor of the everyday.
Yeah.
Is what I will say. So this is from a book, Another River, New and Selected Poems. Came out in 2005, or at least this version of the poem I am reading. Which again is called The Patience of Ordinary Things. It is a kind of love, is it not? How the cup holds the tea, how the chair stands sturdy and foursquare, how the floor receives the bottoms of shoes or toes, how soles of feet know where they're supposed to be. I've been thinking about the patience of ordinary things. How clothes wait respectfully in closets, and soap dries quietly in the dish, and towels drink the wet from the skin of the back, and the lovely repetition of stairs. And what is more generous than a window?
I almost want to hear it again.
It's a short one.
Yeah.
It's a short one. It's kind of hard to read because there's so many questions in it.
I know. I was thinking about one of them, and then the poem was over.
Was it the towels drink the wet, yes, from the skin of the back?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a real showstopper.
It really is.
Particularly because she's using such plain language up until then.
It really is.
And then it's like, whoa, wait, I'm in a poem now. When there was a review done of this book, the reviewer, Don Junkins, said, Pat Schneider's poems cut through to the real world. She not only knows how to write, seemingly without effort, articulate and precise lies, she leans in language and abundant in content.
Even that review was kind of poetic.
Hers is a genuine voice expressed in informed craft, which to be really effective includes the management of tone, which itself depends entirely on the management of restraint.
I want a review of the review of this poem.
I think a lot of poets review other poets, and so you get little poems in the review because everybody wants to be blurbed, mm-hmm. I guess. Her poems, I mean, unsurprisingly, giving her focus are very kind of unassuming. But then every once in a while she'll you know, flaunt it, yeah. You know, I guess is the phrase I'm looking for, where she's like, yeah, hey, by the way, I am a poet.
Yeah.
And I like that one. Again, reminds me of something I've read on the show. Can't identify what that is.
You figured out, yeah.
But it does. There is something about it that feels like an AI generated poem for Wonderful, because.
Well, that is reductive, I think, of both our show and the poem. That
I know.
Just read.
I know. I read it and I felt like this is so precisely like the spirit of the show for me. Mm-hmm. So I was very grateful that Anna sent it to me, and I thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to talk about it. So here I am. Pat Schneider.
Everyone did a great job in getting this poem into specifically my ears. Mm-hmm. You, Anna, Pat, the reviewer, everyone just did a great job today. Can I steal you away, please?
Yes.
We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
This huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe 6 things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie. And it just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com. Throughout history, sirens have captured men's attention, enticed men with their feminine wiles, and fulfilled men's primal needs. The sirens' allure persists.
They have not. Unless the primal need is I need to be smashed on the rocks.
Yeah, smash me.
Smash me, mommy.
Smash me, mama.
Smash me, mommy.
The siren's a little...
Why do we do this to ourselves?
Strand me, baby. Strand me,
baby.
So, yeah, listen to My Brother, My Brother and Me for maximum fun on Mondays. It's just like that. Just like that, but more, it's just like that, but more of it. There's just more of that.
The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Diablo 4.
Final Fantasy 16.
Street Fighter 6.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Starfield.
Spider-Man 2.
Master Detective Archives Rain Code for Nintendo Switch? No, is that just me?
It's a huge time for video games.
You need somebody to tell you what's good, what's not so good, and what's amazing.
I'm Jason Schreier.
I'm Maddie Myers.
And I'm Kirk Hamilton. We're the hosts of Triple Click, a video game podcast for anyone who likes games.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I struggled a lot to come up with a topic for this episode.
Yeah.
Partially because I've been feeling kind of sick this week.
And yeah.
It's hard to get the energy up when you're just kind of bummed out. I did start preparing a segment that was called The Evolution of American Ninja Warrior, which would be different from when we talked about American Ninja Warrior on episode 100. I got like 4 bullet points into that prep work before I lost the courage of my convictions.
We have, just so anyone who listens to this and also watches American Ninja Warrior, which I assume there's like 7 of you, we have talked about doing some kind of bonus content associated with the show because we feel very passionately about it.
It's a great fucking season. There's a lot of people who didn't like this season. They didn't like the race.
Oh, the race. The races, yeah, yeah.
That they did. I thought that they added a real dynamic energy.
But, yeah.
Instead, I'm going to talk about lunch. Because I think that lunch is, by most people's estimations, the least important meal of the day.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But the older I get, like, the more I appreciate the space that it occupies in my every working day. 'Cause it's not flashy like dinner, or like necessary like breakfast is. But the structure that it provides, specifically for me, a person who has worked from home for their entire adult life.
Yeah, no kidding.
Is much appreciated. And I will also say up front that I don't go very hard on lunch. Like, I don't spend a lot of time preparing my lunch.
Yeah, you're not like putting sprouts and sliced avocado on a sandwich of... particular.
I do like sprouts on a sandwich, though.
Me too. Should Let's I buy sprouts?
You should get sprouts, babe. All right,
I'll get sprouts.
I don't really ever go out for lunch. I don't work in an office, which I feel like is like the main reason why you go out for lunch.
How cute would it be, though, if we put our lunch in little brown paper bags in our fridge? And
it'd
then
waste. It'd be incredibly wasteful. Yeah,
that's fair.
Lunch for me is typically a sandwich of some sort. Plus a crunchum of some some sort of crunchum. I like, usually it's whatever crunchums we have lying around for Henry for his lunch, whether it be something in the Ito family, mm-hmm. One of Judge Lance Ito's incredible chips, or a rice cracker, a flavored rice cracker. I enjoy that as well. And a sparkling beverage. That's usually lunch for me.
Yeah, of course.
Very utilitarian hand food, you know, for the hands.
Yeah.
However, that consistency is what makes the variations like all the more exciting. Like when we have leftovers, I genuinely do look forward to them. All morning long. In fact, if I am making dinner and start to realize, like, wait a minute, there's more here than Rachel and I are going to be able to eat tonight, I start getting excited for lunch tomorrow.
Oh, I know.
Depending on what it is.
I know. There should be a word for the experience of you're getting close to lunch, you're not sure what you're going to eat, and then you remember, like,
I have leftovers.
Oh, wait, I have leftovers. And, like, the little endorphin rush you get, like.
Yeah, I get this a lot for, we get food from a place called City Lights of China here in D.C., mm-hmm. and it's, you know, pretty, it's your usual takeout Chinese fare. But the portions are so outrageously large.
Yeah, it's like three meals almost.
It's like three meals, but like I will forget every time that I have it in the fridge until it's like 11:50. And I'll be like, what am I going to have for lunch? Well, I guess I could just have a sandwich. Oh, wait a minute. I got something special calling my name. So lunch, it doesn't just mean eating, though. It also means like rest or time off from whatever it is that you'd rather kind of not be doing, whether it is school or work. Lunch just means like you're not learning or working for a little bit. And I like that. You're nourishing not just your body, but you're easing your mind. And that rules. I also like the structure of it. I like how lunch divides the day for me into two pretty clean blocks of pre-lunch, which is where I get a majority of my work done. Most of our recordings that we do happen in the morning. And so by the time lunch rolls around, I have finished a bulk of my necessary work for the day. And then that just leaves post-lunch for like cleanup of like the other little odd jobs and tasks that that remain on my schedule. Today, because I struggled for so long to come up with a topic, Wonderful got bumped into the post-lunch block, which is maybe why I'm dragging ass a little bit.
I was going to say, there's kind of an agreement when you do work in an office, and let's say you go out to lunch with a coworker, there's this kind of agreement of like, well, now we're useless the rest of the day.
Yeah.
There have been so many times when I have gone out to lunch with a group of coworkers, come back to my desk, and everybody's like, well, ate too much, got nothing left to give.
Yeah. I also like, if I have no post-lunch errands that I need to do, I can take a post-lunch nap, which is one of the danker naps that a human being can take, I think. Because you just get so heavy in your midsection, and it just compels you to just be supine and unconscious for a little bit.
Yeah, I need to reevaluate my approach to naps.
Me too. I'm on a real unhealthy sort of everyday nap schedule again.
See, I almost never nap anymore because I found it to be so unsatisfying.
Oh, wow.
But I think part of that is because different quadrants of our house are like 10 degrees different in temperature.
Yeah.
So I keep going into the hot room to nap. I should go downstairs to the cold room, and I think I would be much more satisfying.
I think you would, too. I took a post-lunch nap today, and I did a mistake in that I set my alarm for the exact time that my therapy appointment started.
Griffin.
And so I rolled up and was pretty, like,
out of it
for the first, I would say, like 10 minutes. Because I was also like, I had it on do not disturb mode on my phone, and I turned that off like as I sat down to therapy.
Oh, so everything
and
blew
so
up.
I had like 14 texts and a bunch of emails. I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, hi. Hello. Yeah, I'm doing bad.
You know what you should have done? You should have put your laptop right next to your bed.
Yeah.
And then you just roll over onto your side. And you're ready to go for therapy.
Yeah, that would cross
very intimate,
some pretty major boundaries, I think. So it's a hard thing to kind of track the origins of a common eating time around all the cultures throughout global history. But modern lunch is more or less sort of, it was established as industrialization happened.
Yeah, of course.
And that meant that workers were working longer shifts further from home. Because in like a, you know, more sort of rural society where that is not the thing, you would just dip back home, grab a quick meal, and then get back to work. That was not possible in the land of factories. And so folks started to eat more portable meals, and they started to, you know, have employer-dictated breaks so that you get your energy back for the afternoon shift of putting fish inside of cans or boxes or whatever it is they do in factories, making cars.
It makes me wonder a lot about like the whole agriculture community, because they wake up super early.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 4 a.m. or whatever to like go out and start the farm work.
Yeah.
And then they're going to bed probably not long after sundown. So where is lunch for them? It's probably like 10 a.m.
I would love getting up at 4. Working, crushing a gigantic breakfast at 8. Working, lunching, a huge lunch at noon, napping for like 2.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
Going out, gym, tan, laundry, dinner, bed until the next morning. That's the life for me, man.
All right, should we move again?
I guess so. The etymology of the word lunch is also hard to track, but the first recorded use of the word comes from 1591, where the word lunch was used to mean a thick slice of something like a lunch of bacon, which sounds amazing, honestly.
Oh, that's great.
I would destroy a bacon lunch right now. I do also enjoy a lunch excursion when it happens, going out to lunch.
Yeah, we need to get back in that habit. We used to try and do that every so often. It was a way to get to a restaurant that we were not getting to otherwise.
Yeah, it's harder when once we had kids to like go out for dinner. And so lunch is my time of day. I also do love when I go out to a restaurant and they serve me lunch-sized portions, which is almost invariably the better size portion for me, Griffin McElroy, what I like to eat at a restaurant.
You mean smaller?
Smaller.
Okay.
More petite, like myself. I love finishing a plate of food and saying, ah, yes.
That was the right amount of
that
food.
That was the correct amount of food for me, a petite man. I also do enjoy how undefined lunch is. Like breakfast foods is a pretty set category.
Well, in Western culture.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
It is a broad category, but it is pretty well defined. Like I could show you a food and you say whether or not it is a breakfast food or not.
I've noticed that you feel strongly about this because our sons will often ask for something like chicken nuggets at 9 a.m. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I don't really care. But you're like, that's a lunch food. What are you doing?
I don't think I say, what are you doing?
Well, no, you don't.
What are you doing?
But I just think you're always like you know, you grab your throat a little bit and your collar
I clutch
pops.
Clutch my pearls.
Yeah.
I pop my collar.
No.
What are you doing? Get out of here. I just like that lunch is just, it's a freestyle. Literally anything goes for lunch. Anything
yeah,
can be lunch.
No, it's true.
I didn't talk about lunches. Lazy twin brunch.
Because we're not brunch people anymore, Griffin.
No, we're...
This is a great sadness for both of us, I think.
Yeah.
Brunch was for people who got to wake up later.
The only thing that beats a post-lunch nap is the post-brunch nap. The post-brunch nap that starts at noon and ends at 4 is... That's the life for me. I take it back. I don't want to be a farmer guy. I want to be a mimosa guzzling brunch fiend, a brunch master.
I would like to think you can do both, but I don't think you can have it all.
I want to live every life possible all at the same time. I want to be rural
That's
farmer.
Beautiful, honey.
And then I want to be, you know, gossiping over brunch and then sleeping for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm worth it. I have some submissions from our friends at home. Do you know what they're talking about?
Yes.
Helen says, as a kid, I hated spicy things and refused to add anything extra to my food. But as an adult, I have really come to appreciate how the right hot sauce can make boring foods taste different and better. Shout out Arizona Gunslinger Green Sauce. Sounds good. It's been a while since I've had a green hot sauce in my home. I do like a tomatillo salsa is actually probably my favorite kind of salsa now. But like a smooth green sauce.
It's I been need a like a sommelier for hot sauce because I know what kinds I like and I'm literally scared to try anything else.
The only stuff I put hot sauce on now is eggs and pizza. And it's Cholula basically all
rice.
Every time.
Don't you do it on a rice dish occasionally?
I
like sriracha on a like
sriracha, yeah.
On a rice or noodle dish.
I like We've started doing like chili crunch with some of the dishes that I make, and I like that. I've fallen off sriracha pretty hard.
Hmm.
I feel like sriracha like overwhelms the taste of whatever food I put it on in a way that is distracting.
Hmm.
Anne says, my small wonder is when foods come in little glass jars that you can keep and reuse.
Yes.
You enjoy your yogurt or tiramisu and you get a little glass souvenir that's yours forever.
Yes.
I'll say that about jellies also.
Yes, I've been meaning to talk to you about this actually.
Uh-oh.
We get a jelly that comes in a little jar.
We do.
And occasionally Griffin will discard the jar and I will fish it out of the receptacle
and
clean it because I really like a jelly jar as a cup.
I like a jelly jar as a cup too. I don't know why I do that.
I mean, most things, when you finish the contents, you get rid of them. Just in that very specific example, I'm like, no, the jar.
I recycle it though, right? I don't just throw it in the garbage can, I would hope. Oh no, do I really?
I mean, here's the thing. There's still a little bit of jelly in it.
Oh, I see.
Right? Sometimes it's like, oh gosh, I don't want to put this jelly in the recycling and have it sit there for 3 days.
But I don't rinse it out. Man, I really need to get it the fuck together.
I don't want it to be like this.
I don't want it to be like this either, but apparently.
I just wanted to talk about jars.
I do love jars though. Especially jars of clay. My favorite Christian rock.
I don't know anything about this. I can't follow you.
One of these days, I'm going to sit you down. One of these days, I'm going to force you to guest on Good Christian Fun, and you'll get a very quick education on contemporary Christian music. And
I know so little.
I know. It's so exciting. You didn't know what Reliant K was.
No.
It was like a couple months ago we were talking about Christian bands, and I was talking about Switchfoot, and you had heard of Switchfoot, but you didn't know their music, which is appalling.
I never heard of Reliant K.
And then I was like, well, or Reliant K, and you were like, Reliant who? And
yeah.
The thought that you didn't know that is...
Is DC Talk one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, that DC Talk was great. They did Jesus Freak, I think.
See, again, just...
What would people say if they found out I'm a Jesus freak?
I will say there are a lot of times when I am looking for a station on the radio, which is something I still do, and I'll hit what sounds like an alternative rock station, and then I'll start listening. I'll be like, wait, you caught me. You fooled me.
Yeah, Jesus Freak was DC Talk. Man, what a bop. Thank you so much to Bowen and Augustus for these for a theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows that they got there. You're going to find something there that you're going to like and you're going to vibe with. We have a bunch of merch over at McElroyMerch.com that you can go check out. We have a new line of Besties stickers that I'm delighted by. It's like all four of us, but done up in the styles of the video games we love. So I look like an Animal Crossing guy.
That's adorable.
Justin has a little sewer shark guy. It's very good. We have some shows coming up in New York and Philly that you can get tickets to. They're going to be like second week of October, I believe. Go to McElroy.family and find links to those where to get tickets now. And I think that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry for the low-key vibe on this one. We're coming in hot, but next week's one is going to be... Is maybe we will give ourselves permission to talk about American Ninja Warrior for...
Whoa, I don't know, dude. I don't know.
I will say that as much as I do enjoy the show... And I do think it has evolved in a spectacular fashion. As soon as the season is done, I forget fucking everything.
I know, I was going to say, it feels a little bit like dumping out my underwear drawer in front of our listeners. Like, here is my hidden things.
Well, what do you got in there? What do you got in your underwear drawer?
It's just a kind of vulnerability to talk in depth about American Ninja Warrior, which is a show that I think almost no one watches.
What if you dumped out your underwear drawer and you had a secret, like pocket knife collection that you would, something like really out of character for
I
you.
I like that, Rachel.
Okay, I'll be Farm Griffin, you be Knife Rachel by next week, and we'll meet back up and see how it goes.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.